All right, this is Joe Boggs. I'm in Newport, Michigan. Today's date is June 14th, I think. Thursday? June 14th, Thursday, 2018. And I'm here with Arlene Gedalion, who is the daughter of Harold Frey. I guess the first question I'd like to ask you is, what are some of your fondest memories of your dad growing up?
He was always upbeat and happy, and he loved to skate, and he farmed on the side, so I was his helper because I was the only one. No brothers, no sisters.
Oh, you're only child? I didn't realize it.
Well, I never really liked inside. I mean, I could clean, but I never liked to cook because I was always out with my dad making hay or doing something.
Your dad depended on you for a hand, basically with everything. And what year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
1932.
So right at the very end of Prohibition and during the midst of the Great Depression.
Right.
Can you share at all in terms of what was your dad's upbringing like in Newport? Did he share any stories with you about growing up or anything along those
Well,
lines?
they went to St. Charles School, and then the school burned.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then I'm not sure where he went. Maybe Bohemia for a while. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how soon it got rebuilt.
Bobian as like as like a smaller one,
Bome.
Bome.
EIA, I think.
Okay.
Well, there's different ways. I think that's how it was spelled. It was right there where the Baptist church is.
Oh yeah, off of Dixie, the
Right
right
there
hand
from
side, right from
St.
Jefferson.
Jefferson School.
Yeah, I
They
didn't
had
realize
little.
it.
There was a schoolhouse there.
Okay.
I should have went there if I went to kindergarten, but I never went to kindergarten. I
That
just started at St. Charles in first grade.
wasn't too far from your from the household then.
Right, but if you didn't have a way, you had to walk.
Yeah, that's true. Anything else about his childhood that you can recall him sharing with you, other than going to St. Charles and going to Bome School?
I really don't know.
So can you
He
explain where
liked
he grew up
Texas.
specifically?
Well, he grew up on the farm, so he helped his dad farm.
Can you explain for the record where that was in Newport?
Right at Frey's Corners. Well, they owned land on Dixie and then on Turnpike also. I don't know how many acres. There was 80 acres both sides, but and they farmed with horses.
Now, would they have owned the property yet? I think the Bobians live there now. There's a farmhouse on Turnpike from the corner. They wouldn't have owned that.
Yeah,
So they owned the corner there.
it was down farther
Oh, it was.
past Bobian.
Okay.
Yeah, it might have went to the Genevieve
Yeah,
Road.
Genevieve Road.
I think it went up to that.
So had that been known as Frey's Corner even before your dad was born?
Probably.
Probably.
Probably. Because the big brick house, that was my great grandparents. I think his name was John. And then I didn't really knew them, but then my great uncle John lived there and his wife. And they raised Joe. He was had what did they get back then? Some kind of disease, and he had just stubs for legs. He could only crawl.
Oh man.
And they raised him. But he could drive horses and stuff. He had a big garden.
Trying to think what disease would have been during tuberculosis or something like that. And there
There
was
was
a
a name.
Spanish flu that came
There was a
by.
name.
Okay.
I can't think of it.
Polio?
Might have been.
Okay.
But his legs were really, deformed. But he had these little stubs. He always wrapped them in like leather because I used to go see him.
Well.
And but he'd bring lunch to the guys working out in the fields, and he had a big garden, beautiful garden, right where Chuck lives, where that crossed that little ditch.
Okay.
He crawled every place he went.
Oh, wow.
And he lived to be really old.
And you went to St. Charles as well?
I don't know that.
There we go. Okay.
I just, well, was the school there then?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. You're
I don't
right.
know. I don't know what year
Because
the first
I think
St.
the
Charles
school
was
actually went
built.
up in 1914, I believe.
Is that the first one?
I believe, like, the one that's currently being considered to be torn down, I think that was in 1914. But, yeah, right, the old school hall,
well,
I don't know.
That burned.
Yeah.
Before that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, beyond your dad's childhood, do you have any, like, stories to share about, like, him growing up as an adult? What he did for a living? That kind of
well,
thing?
Well, it was hard. He bought a thresher machine, and then he went around to all the farmers and did the threshing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he got into auto equipment. I know he worked there quite a few years.
Auto equipment, what do you mean by that?
Monroe.
Oh, okay, the Monroe Auto...
Right, it's named something different now.
Yeah, it was owned by the McIntyres, right?
Well, I don't know at that time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he loved to skate. He used to skate Lake Erie and all over. And when he was... I got a picture... When he was 82, he'd go up to Trenton ice skating rink.
Okay, yeah.
Pick up Mary Mazarant, her sister, Teague. I go, but he was much better skater than me. Yeah, he loved to skate.
So he was...
He was a hunter.
Okay.
Deer hunting.
Okay.
So we went up to my grandma's up north.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he always hunted.
Now, can you talk a little bit more about his... Because it sounds like he owned a gas station, too, at one time. Or was that his younger brother?
That was... My grandpa owned the gas station.
Oh, your grandpa did.
And then Uncle Melton took over the gas station, and Uncle Bonnie drove fuel trucks for years, delivered fuel oil.
Okay.
So they were kind of, I guess, in it together.
All right. So it sounds like your father and his brothers were very mechanically inclined. They knew cars... They knew machinery for farms and that kind of thing. So, you obviously read the transcript a little bit.
Right.
Did your father ever share any of those stories with you growing up about him being involved
in
prohibition?
I didn't know all of this. I knew he was in prohibition. I hear a story, but, you know, I'm sure maybe I knew more, but forgot it.
Yeah.
So I was chuckling when I read some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some pretty funny stories in
but
there.
He didn't really talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So do you recall any specific stories he would have shared with you about prohibition beyond that?
No. Well, I asked him... maybe Sally asked why he got out. He says, because my mother told me I could either live there or get out of the house. He didn't get out of prohibition.
And there's one specific story in the transcript. He talks about making actual moonshine in the house. Did you see that?
Well, when they talked about the beer.
Yeah, beer.
Yeah, that I wasn't born yet. They lived in Newport. There was an apartment place right by the railroad tracks. It's tore down now.
Okay.
In fact, I think it's where the implement place is
now. Oh, Al's?
I think that's what it was. It's right on the corner, across from the old building that's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an apartment building still there.
Right.
So they lived across the street.
Yeah, and that's when the beer blew up. Cause but he always made wine. Always made homemade wine.
Mm-hmm.
Because over at my grandpa's, they had a grape vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
So he always made homemade wine. That blew up one time, too. I remember that. There was grapes hanging all over the ceiling in the first cellar.
That's one thing about farmers back then in Newport, is that they all knew how to make wine and hard cider and things like that. It was just part of, like, growing up.
I remember making hard cider.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sold electric fencers. That was the first, I think, anybody around here ever had them.
Huh.
They had, like, to keep the cows in, they had one wire.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had this box of electric. And, you know, if you touch it, you got a poke.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have plenty of time.
So, do you, because he talks about, you know, obviously using automobiles as a part of his rum running and during Prohibition. Do you remember him in any of those cars? He talks about a Model T. He talks about other cars
as
well.
That was way before me.
That was way before you?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
No, but yeah, it was kind of funny that they just buy these old cars, and then he said they take the floorboards, hide the stuff underneath the floorboards. And, but he did talk about going across Canada on the ice. And about the time, got caught because they had the flashlight.
That was funny. Yeah, that was out by Estrel Beach, I think, right?
Yeah,
it's really, when you start digging into Prohibition around here, it really is unbelievable the stories that you can find.
People got killed.
Oh, I know. Yeah. In fact, it's kind of scary to think about it right now. I came across an article in a shack along Swan Creek here. They opened up the door and they found a dead body of a Toledo rum runner on the inside. And then there's another instance in which at the mouth of the Swan Creek out there kind of like towards Estrel Beach, you know, a local Newport guy by the name of Walter Butler. I had never heard of that last name as being a Newport name, but was shot and killed, transporting alcohol across the ice by agents. So,
you know who you should interview is Steve Blanchett. Howard Blanchett.
Okay. Where does he live?
Well, he lives in Newport Woods.
Okay.
Do you know, what's his son's name? He's a teacher. He reads at church.
Ed Blanchett?
Yeah, that's his dad.
Oh, yeah, I played basketball for Ed Blanchett.
Okay. Steve, Howard's his real name. I don't want that recorded.
Okay. I'll pause it.
That his mother and dad lived down here on Swan Creek Road, right on the creek, where Rita Sanders lives now. Sam's also lived there. And her wife's name was Ann. And I always heard his dad got killed bootlegging, but I'm not sure if that was true or not.
Blanchett was the last name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll have to do some research before I...
don't know what Howard's dad's name was. It might have, I think it was Ed.
Was that?
Because I never knew him because he was gone. But later years, when Howard and his brother, Bib, his name was Leroy, they lived upstairs over the brick house on Frey's Corners. They lived upstairs.
Okay.
I mean, she was a widow, and the kids, Skeet and Bib, were in the Navy then. And then they had a whole bunch of girls. They had four or five sisters. But Howard might, I mean, I think he's pretty good.
How old would you say he is?
He's 90 or 91.
Oh, so he's right around.
So.
Yeah, he would be right at the tail end of Prohibition as well.
But, I'm not positive that's true about his dad, but I always knew that. That's what I remember.
Well, I can always talk to Ed Blanche because I know him a little bit, and then go through him and say, what do you think about this? Huh. I'd never heard that story. So I'm going to start recording again just to... Okay, here we go. Here we go.
My dad liked to play cards, euchre especially.
Oh, did he?
And what else did he do? He was a jokester.
That's the impression I kind of get from the interview, reading it. Lots of humorous stories in there. Can you share a little bit about Milton then? A little bit? What was he like growing up?
I don't know. He got married. He was older. They had one daughter, Anne. He ran the gas station. Before that, he traveled with the circus.
Oh, did he?
I don't know if that's what they call it. Because every time he came home, he'd have a whole suitcase of trinkets, and I still got some of these little china animals and stuff.
Okay.
Give me.
So he was in the circus when you were a kid? Wow. That's interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far he went, but he traveled with the circus. I don't know what he did.
Yeah, and that's the thing, the impression that I get from the interview as well is from the transcript, is that he was a traveling man. Like, he was, based on he was rum running in places like St. Louis, Chicago,
yeah,
Pittsburgh.
So he probably knew all those places from being at the circus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh. So he operated the gas station when you were growing up as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So, it would be interesting to know what Milton and your father were doing as teenagers. Do you happen to know anything about that at all?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what they did for fun. I don't know.
So your father, he went to St. Charles and went to Bome School.
Well, I assume that when mm-hmm. the school burned, I don't know how long it took to build a new one.
Did you ever go to high school at all?
No.
No, and that's pretty common for that time period.
Well, see, St. Charles went up, they did go to 12th grade.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Okay.
Then, as more kids come, they cut it down to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the year I got in 8th grade, that's when they cut it to 8.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he went through 8th grade, 10th grade, or 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah, so he may have been expected to become an adult pretty early on, if, you know.
Right.
Because I was, just a couple days ago, I interviewed, I don't know if you know the Raymonds at all. His name was Buck Raymond.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he lived over there in Breast Bay.
Yeah.
Yep. I interviewed his...
Well, how old is he?
Well, he's passed away now.
Well, I was going to say,
yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I interviewed his granddaughters, actually, and they had a lot of stories to share about him. And guess what? His interview is also in those binders.
Is it?
And it's also very detailed.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did he
run the store right there?
He was a fisherman for a long time. But during Prohibition, he was involved, and he got shot by Coast Guard and crippled his arm.
Oh.
And didn't have to work another day in his life because he made so much money rum running. So he gave a lot of his money to the church in Boysville.
Oh.
Yeah,
I remember that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I interviewed them a couple days ago, and they had some interesting stories to share about him. But, yeah, it seems like your father, he kind of... tried out rum running for a little bit, but then didn't do it from there on out. It's more so his brother was involved.
Yeah. Well, see, he drove a milk truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, picked up for Mrs. Barron. What was her name? It'd be Chuck Barron's mother.
Okay.
And he drove hauled the milk to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he did some rum.
Your father?
Yeah.
Now, where was Mrs. Barron's place at?
I think in Newport, right in town on the South Newport Road.
Okay. If you're like in downtown Newport, you take a left of the gas station.
Right. And I think it was right across there.
Along the tracks?
Yeah, behind that, where that old apartment place is now. I think that's where it was.
That would make sense. Yeah, because there used to be an old building there behind there, but they tore it down when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure that's where that was.
And do you know what that dairy was called at that time? But it was owned by a Mrs. Barron then.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I think of her name? Emma Barron.
Emma Barron, okay. And she didn't have a husband that helped her with that business?
Well, he was dead. See, I don't know how he died.
Okay. Huh.
So she raised Chuck Barron, Charles Barron, and then he had another brother, and there was something wrong with them,
mm-hmm.
but she raised those two boys by herself.
And
so I'm sure that's who my dad hauled milk for.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go around to the farmers and pick up some cans.
And he was saying in the interview with Sally that apparently a few of those canisters are full of whiskey out of like the 70 some. But it was a smart way to go about it, you know, to be honest.
That's the wonder they didn't kiss.
Yeah.
They checked somebody.
Yeah, you know, they probably put the ones with whiskey in the middle and then all the ones on the outside full of milk. But he also talks in the transcript there, he had a lot of bribes to give some of the officers, including alcohol sometimes. So do you remember your dad having good relationships with the officers around at all?
Well, later years, he did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't know about that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were all in cahoots.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the feds came in and it got...
a little bit more serious.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when he got out.
Mm-hmm. So
they also used to sit, they hid it in the hay mows.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because somebody told me, and I never knew this, that there was a, in the barn, there was a, like a basement underneath that they kept booze in there. Now, I don't know.
Grandpa's barn.
It's gone now.
Okay.
If it was, I never saw it.
So that was the barn on the corner, on Frey's Corner.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, to be honest, I would say probably most farmers in Newport probably have that. I've heard reports of rum runners hiding alcohol in the barn that used to be in my parents' yard.
Okay.
You know, Ivan Madrin.
Yeah.
Yep, that big barn. Apparently, they were hiding in there as well. So.
Is that gone?
It is gone.
Yeah.
And
then there was a big barn where my great-grandparents lived by the brick house.
Mm-hmm.
It was like on Strong Road.
Yes.
Well, that blew down. I got hit by a tornado when I was in high school. They never called them that then, because I remember sitting in high school in the second floor. I went to Monroe High.
Mm-hmm.
Got pitch black out. You couldn't even see out. And they had all these storms, and the barns blew down. There was a bunch of them.
So that was, so you went to high school at the middle school now. It's
right.
Considered the middle school now.
Right.
Huh. So can you share any stories about when you were a child with your father, any unique stories that you can think of when you're growing up?
Well, I was his helper, so I couldn't drive the horses in the field.
Okay.
We made hay and pulled the wagon and the hay, what you call it? Put the hay up onto the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this old truck, and I couldn't reach the pedal on the floor for the gas,
mm-hmm.
but there was a lever on the steering wheel.
Okay.
So I could make it go. I just went down the windrows with this truck, pulling all this other stuff. And then my dad would be on the wagon, getting the hay, the pitchforks off of the loader. And when I'd come to the end, if I'd stall it, then I couldn't start it again. You'd have to get off the wagon, come down, and start the truck. And I was 6 years old. So then I got 2 cents a load.
2 cents a load.
So my aunts came down from up north, and they said, you got to go on strike. You got 10 cents a load. Well, I can't remember if I got 10 cents a load after that.
And you told your dad. That's pretty funny.
But, I drove since I was really young, but then I don't think I could get my license still. I think they changed it, right? You could get it at 14, but I think they changed it. I had to wait till I was 16, I think.
So what kind of, do you remember what kind of automobiles your dad had growing up?
Always Chevys.
Always Chevys, okay.
Always Chevys. Well, maybe not right at first, but I remember always Chevys.
And trucks, usually?
Well, these were just farm trucks.
Okay.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He never had, like, a pickup to drive around. He just had one car. Twice he had one car.
Mm-hmm.
So usually always a Chevy. And I think he bought it over here at Emmerich's Garage.
Emirates Garage. What's that?
That's where the party store is now.
Fermi 3?
Yeah. That's not called that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a garage. It was Emmerich's. And Fred Emmerich sold the cars. And Irv Emmerich, he worked on the cars.
Okay.
Repaired cars. That was all right there in that building.
Would that have existed while your dad was growing up?
Oh, yeah.
See, I had never known that it was there.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got me when I started working, when I graduated, he bought me this old Chevy car from there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he made the first payment. Then I had to pay the rest.
Now, were there, I don't know if you'd like to share this. Do you recall any other families that your dad used to talk about that were involved in Prohibition or rum running that you can think of?
Not really.
Not really?
I don't remember any.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the impression that I get is a lot of these Newport farmers were involved in some kind of capacity, and a lot of them didn't want to share when they were alive who was involved. I think a lot of people were scared, and I don't know why.
Well, that's what Sally, I talked to Sally, I told her I had this, she called me yesterday, and she was so surprised. She said, well, how did you get that? Said, well, this come about?
Yeah.
I would have never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Grandpa was really scared when I was interviewing him. Well, he would have been 84.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 83 when she interviewed him. He turned 84 in August, and he died in September.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, he's one of the more honest individuals who, even though he's scared, he was probably the most honest person. Because there's a lot of people they ask questions about when I go through those binders.
Oh, really?
They asked him a lot of questions about Prohibition. A lot of them were, you know, they would say a little bit, but not to the detail that your dad went to. And that's good for history because we want to know the truth. And like we said, everyone was involved, almost everyone. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. And in fact, the police were involved too.
Right, right.
So.
And even the judges.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'd like to know if that was true about Skeet's dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I'm at the... I have to go over there and ask. Are there any other things that you'd like to share about your father at all that you can remember from your childhood growing up or about Newport in general? What was Newport like growing up as a kid?
Well, it wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
They had a post office and a store, Johnny Menorah's store.
Johnny Menorah's store. Is it like a general store then?
Grocery store.
Oh.
And,
where was that located at?
Right on the main drag. Right where the, what is that now? What is the post office, I guess. What's that now?
Post office. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's been a lot of stores that have gone in and out of there.
Right. But, I mean, it was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
There was... I think Niedermeyer had a feed store.
Was that in the same general vicinity then?
And then by, what's the road that Corey's on?
Oh,
Brandon.
Yeah.
Okay, on that corner in Swan Creek Road, there was a shoe shop and a pool room.
A shoe shop?
He repaired shoes.
Oh, repaired shoes,
Millennium
okay.
Shoes, and he had a pool room in there.
And pool room.
Next door was, you're getting me way back.
This is great information because I would have never even thought there would have been something like that there. So
He did electrical work. Oh. Boylan's.
Okay. Boylan's.
Your grandpa should, Jerry should know.
Yeah, Boylan's. Yeah, Boylan's sounds like a familiar name.
Boylan.
Okay. So you're saying where the quarry is now, that used to be that was not there.
Well, that was there.
Oh, it was there. Oh. So it was across from there or in front?
It was right where you turn on the corner to go down.
Brandon.
Is that Brandon? Yeah.
So
it was right uptown.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the corner.
So it's basically, here's the tracks. Brandon runs parallel to that, correct? Trying to think, is that the road? Because there's Newport,
it's
Swan Creek.
Brandon runs this way.
Yep, correct.
Right,
okay.
That's right on that corner. There was Miletti's, there was the shoe repair and a pool room.
So is there's that...
And then there was Boylan's Electric.
Mm-hmm.
They were right, I don't know if they were hooked together.
Mm-hmm.
Right before where the bar is now.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask. Is it the same, basically the same
right.
general location as that village
right.
or the, I guess.
And the bar was there.
Oh, it was there. Okay.
That was Niedermeyer's. I can't think of his name.
And Niedermeyer's was a feed place, you said?
Well, there was a Niedermeyer owned the bar, and there was a Niedermeyer owned the feed place.
Okay. Okay. And then, my grandpa who owns the mill, what was that? Was that used for anything back in the day? Before?
That
like,
was a mill.
That was a mill at that time, too.
Right. I can't think who owned it. I can see the guy. He was the coach at St. Charles for many years. Frank Wisniewski.
Okay. I never heard of that last name.
He was the coach for about these. Like your grandpa when they played CYO football,
mm-hmm.
he was the coach.
Oh.
And then, I don't know if that building's still there back by the mill. A brick building was a canning factory. It was apartments now. I think it's still there.
Oh, wow.
It would be, the mill's back here, it would be this side.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there's a building right there.
Yeah, it was a canning factory, and then that got turned into apartments.
Do you remember people like taking the train or the interurban at all when you were a kid?
No, I don't.
Mhm. I think it probably pretty much switched over to cars.
Seems like everybody's car was black though. They didn't have colored cars.
Yeah.
And I can remember them having to crank it.
Yeah, a lot of those Model Ts, you had to do that, and a lot of the older Chevys too. I think the self-starter didn't really become popular until the late 20s, maybe early 30s, right when you were born. Maybe a lot of those older cars, and those farmers probably had some of the older cars,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
I remember during the war, when gas was rationed, rubber
yeah.
was rationed, we had stamps, food stamps,
mm-hmm.
stamps for gas, and you can buy tires. So... my dad had a big tractor inner tube that we blew up and went to Sterling State Park or Plant Park, someplace to swim, and that thing floated away, and I couldn't swim. I mean, I went to Canada. I caught a little bit of heck on that one because you couldn't buy rubber.
Yeah.
But I remember food stamps.
Mm-hmm. So where even like the stores in Newport, you'd have to use stamps?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sugar,
mm-hmm.
meat. You had red stamps and yellow stamps, I think. There's different colors, and they all were worth so much. You got allotted so much a month or something.
Mm-hmm.
And gas was the same way. But being on the farm, my dad had a tank, and so... he got so much for the farm, so he kind of could use some in your car once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know they did that.
Do you were born in 32 again, right? Do you remember what it was like growing up during the Great Depression? Was your family impacted at all?
They're always like penny pinchers. You
mm-hmm.
had to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a big garden.
Mm-hmm.
My mother canned. They didn't have freezers back then, but they used to, my dad got a deer, you canned the meat.
Okay.
Or another thing, they preserved it in crocks. A lot of stuff they preserved in crocks with salt.
Mm-hmm.
and kept it all winter.
Yeah, that's the impression I get, though, is like a lot of the farmers, the Great Depression really wasn't that big of a deal because they were basically
well
equipped for it.
Well, you had chickens.
Yep.
So you had chicken every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember ever butchering beef, though. We never raised beef.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had cows for milk. But I don't remember, like, steers or anything.
And that was growing up at the farmstead near Bray's Corner, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I grew up in the White House,
mm-hmm.
going to Rockwood, right around the corner. Well, there's a brick house right next to that old gas station now.
Okay.
The White House.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really bad because I just saw it.
Mm-hmm. So, just to be clear in terms of the location, the gas station is on the left corner.
If you're going north.
If you're going north, yeah. And then Frank's Auto Body currently, did that exist then?
Yeah.
What was that
not,
used for?
Not as soon as the Frey gas station.
Okay.
But then Carl Brown,
mm-hmm.
he ran that with a mobile station.
A mobile station? What's a mobile station?
That's the name of the gas.
Oh, that's the name of the gas. Oh, oh, I see. A mobile gas. Okay, I see.
It had a flying red horse sign.
Oh.
It had wings on it.
So it was a competing gas station then.
Yeah, so when I was driving, but I'd go to one with my uncle, and the other one with my cousin, so I kind of switch back and forth.
That's pretty funny. So it was a friendly competition then, yeah. I would have never guessed there were two gas stations right there at that corner. Well, the Dixie was kind of a big road back in the day.
Oh, right. That was your only main road to get to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
There was no expressway.
Mm-hmm. And then was turnpike that I know, was that like a dirt road or what was that like? Do you recall that at all?
I can remember working on the road when I paved it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was called Jefferson.
Oh, was it?
Or is Dixie Jefferson?
No, I think you're
one
right.
Fort Street. Dixie's Fort Street.
Mm-hmm.
And turnpike turns into Jefferson.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson. Yeah. I don't know. What else?
So anything else you would like to share about maybe your father or his brother's like later lives at all?
Oh, they get together once in a while in
mm-hmm.
a reunion.
Mm-hmm. Do they get along pretty much?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Mm-hmm. So you said that Milton joined the circus. What did he do? Did he spend the rest of his life in the circus, or did he do other things?
That must have been when he was really young.
Okay.
And then he ran the gas station. And then I think he worked at Ford's.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but
hmm.
I know his wife did, but I think he worked out
mm-hmm.
after he gave up the gas station. Somebody bought that.
And then Bonnie, what did he do?
Well, he ran the oil truck, and then he was a bus driver for Jefferson.
Oh, was he?
Many years.
Okay.
When we lived in, he used to pick up my kids. Because then they just ride to St. Charles.
All right. Well, is there anything else we would like to talk about at all you can think of? It's a pretty good interview. It's almost 40 minutes now. That's good.
Well, he liked to skate.
Yeah.
He liked to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We said go to Edison Park because Edison owned it in Belleville. That was for employees. You know, their families.
Mm-hmm.
You could camp up there or just go up there a lot of picnics.
All right. Well, we'll end it there. And once again, thank you, Arlene, for your time.
Well, I hope all that's the truth.
Well, you did the best you could.
I'd still like to know about the Blanchet because that's